All right, let's go to our passage in Genesis. And this is the passage we've been reading from. It's about Cain and Abel. And this is what it says. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And so we see Abel and Cain both bringing an offering to the Lord. Both of them have the purest of intentions. They're giving an offering that they hope God is pleased with, right? But we see here the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain, his offering, he did not look with favor. And so we see that Abel brought God an offering, and God accepted Abel's offering. And then Cain brought an offering to the Lord as well, but the Lord did not accept his offering. Cain was wounded in that moment. And what was interpreted as a rejection of him, God was only rejecting Cain's offering, but Cain's wound told them that God was also rejecting him. Remember, we talked about we don't see things as they are, we see things as we are, meaning that every single one of you have wounds from your past that actually shape in the way that you view reality today, right? That makes sense. All right, the next verse. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Next verse. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." And so we see here, number one, that we have to identify our wounds. But number two, Cain believed a lie that resulted from his wound because he felt like God was rejecting him. Because God rejected his offering, Cain believed the lie that God was rejecting him. And so how many of you guys know that from your wounds, there are lies that we have heard and believed that shape our reality today? And a few weeks ago, we discovered what the lie was, and we broke it with the truth of God because the truth sets us free. Amen? And so today, we're going to talk about contracts, okay? And so we talked about things we've come to believe. But now we're going to talk about how we have and still respond to the pain that we've experienced, okay? So let's pray. God, I just thank you, Lord, that you're taking us deeper into your heart and that you're healing us and making us whole. Today, as we talk about contracts that we've made to join Fight Club and Flight Club, I pray, Lord, that you would show us where the deception is and that you would break it with the truth, that we would tear the contracts that we've signed that keep us bound and in chains. And we thank you, Lord, through that, you're going to heal us and you're going to heal the way that we relate to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the first thing I want to say is this. If you do not deal with your pain, how many of you guys know that you will eventually reproduce your pain in other people? And so if there are wounds that you received in your lifetime, if there's pain that you've experienced it and you have not properly dealt with it, it's natural that you are going to eventually cause that exact same pain to everyone around you. You see, if we look at the life of Cain, Cain felt rejection from God. And what happens? Because he felt rejection, what ends up happening with him and his brother? He ends up rejecting his brother. And so you see that unresolved pain continues to multiply everywhere around you in your life. How many of you guys have ever, for those of you who've been hurt by someone, maybe it was your father or your mother or a friend or a loved one, how many of you guys have ever made this vow, "I will never be like him. I will never be like my dad. I will never be like my mom. I will never be like my pastor." Oh, Lord, I pray no one's saying that. See, we end up becoming just like the people we vow we would never become like. Why? Because we haven't dealt with the pain that they inflicted upon us. Whether it was purposeful or accidental, it doesn't matter. We have to deal with the pain if we want to end the cycle of pain going around. Now, listen, I don't know why every week I'm speaking, but I seem to talk about a fight that Krista and I had. Well, we had another fight this last week. By the way, listen, marriage is amazing. I know I talk a lot about fights. It's because I love conflict and fights because it helps us grow. But anyway, we had a fight this week, and let me just say this. How many single men in the house? Listen, there's a common courtesy that you must learn right now in your singleness. When you pee in the toilet, wipe it every time. The toilet bowl every time, even if it's just a little tinkle, just wipe it every time. And so we got into a fight about cleaning, and about 30 minutes into our fight, both of us have this realization that, oh my God, I know I said I would never be like my mom, but I'm just like my mom. And I remember when Krista said that to me, I was like, oh my God, I'm just like my dad. Look what we're doing right now. Because I remember my mom used to always nag my dad about cleaning. And the way my dad would respond is in frustration and upset. He would be upset and he would push back and he'd get defensive. And I realized the exact same thing was happening with us. The people that we vowed never to become like, we actually became. But why? Because there are unresolved wounds that we have to heal if we hope to end the cycle of pain. You see, we end up causing the same pain that we received, and this is what happens when we don't deal with it. Do you guys all understand? You're following along? Give me an amen, a come on. You see, Satan gets us to recreate the pain we've experienced in our relationships with other people. And so you spread the very thing that wounded you. How many of you guys have heard the phrase, hurt people, or wounded people, wound people? See, the abused becomes the abuser. You become a pawn in Satan's chess game of life. And I don't know about you, but nothing makes me more upset than knowing that Satan is manipulating me to hurt the people that I love around me. I will not let the devil for a single moment longer use me as his pawn. And so I believe God is bringing freedom in this area so Satan is not manipulating his children. Now, the way Satan deceives us is by getting us to sign contracts, okay? Look to your neighbor and say, contract. And what these contracts are designed to do is designed to keep us bound in a cycle of reoccurring pain. But what God is calling us to do today is identify the contracts that we have signed and break these contracts today. Now, we have a lawyer in the house, so I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, okay? A contract is a legally binding agreement between two parties. That's right, right? Okay, good job. Two lawyers, okay. A contract is a legally binding agreement between two parties. You come to a legal agreement that provides you protection. And so, for example, Krista and I were blessed with a new car recently. It was gifted to us, and what we had to do, but we got to pay for insurance, okay? And I don't know if you know, but when I was 16, I got a letter from the DMV, and it said, Michael Cho, you are amongst California's worst drivers. You're the reason for deaths and accidents on the road. And so our insurance is very high, but what you do when you sign insurance is you sign your life away so that if you were to get in an accident, you're covered and you're protected, right? In the same way, when we've been wounded or hurt, we sign contracts with ourselves in order to provide protection for ourselves, okay? You know, another example, David and I, in 2005, we had a chance to go to the nation of Kazakhstan to do missions work. And I'll never forget the application they gave us. It asked for the basic info, you know, what's your name, what's your address, are you a Christian, do you love Jesus, stuff like that. But then I remember on the last page it said, if you die or you get left behind in the country in prison, you are not liable to sue us. And it asked me to sign, right? And so why did the church give us that contract? Because in case I died, I don't know how I'd sue them from the grave. But why? Because the church wanted to be protected. In the same way, when we've been wounded in our past, we've subconsciously signed contracts with ourselves to protect ourselves from pain. Now listen, I'm going to explain this a little more. I know some of y'all don't quite get it yet. So if we look at the life of Cain, what happens? Cain feels rejected by God. That was his wound. He felt rejection from God. And so what does Cain do? Cain, number one, believes the lie that he's rejected from God. But number two, he signs a contract with himself saying, you know what? I will never let anyone reject me again. If anyone stands in the way, or if anyone perpetuates this idea that God's going to reject me, then I got to eliminate them. So what happens? He makes this contract with himself to protect himself. I will never feel rejected again. And so I'm going to sign a contract that says that I will never let anyone be better than me ever again. And so what happens later in the story, spoiler alert, Cain and Abel are in the field. And I imagine Abel was gathering his next offering to the Lord. And Cain looks at him and sees him gathering his offering, and something is triggered. He remembers how the Lord accepted Abel's offering, but not his own. All of a sudden, his wound is triggered. And because of the contract he made that said, I will never be rejected again, I will never let anyone be better than me again, thus causing the Lord to reject me, what does he end up doing? He eliminates the thing that he believes will lead to his rejection. And so a lot of us, when we've been wounded, we sign these contracts that actually were designed to protect us, but actually continue to cause us more pain and makes us cause pain in the lives of people around us. If you guys remember my own story, I share it a few times now, but my wound was rejection from my father. When I was growing up as a little boy, I remember on Saturdays, I would look out the window and I'd see all my Caucasian friends throwing the baseball around with their dads, catching it in their gloves, having a good time. It was like an episode of the Brady Bunch, and I looked behind me and my dad wasn't home. And the one thing that I longed for as a little boy was that I could spend quality time. My dad could take me to baseball games. Y'all know why I don't play sports? Because my dad wasn't there. Hallelujah. But listen, that was my wound, is the absence of my father. And in return, I felt rejected by my dad. And the lie that I believed was that my dad didn't love me, but also that I was not worth accepting. That if people really got to know the real me, they would reject me. And so as a little boy, subconsciously, we don't even understand why we do it or how we do it. I signed a contract with myself saying, because I've been rejected, I will never let anyone in close enough to reject me ever again. And I begin living out in my relationships and my life the terms that I signed in this contract. And so in my college years, I would always be the goofy, fun, happy Mickey. But I would never let anyone in close. In fact, I felt so intimidated when I hung out with people one-on-one that I didn't want them to see the real me, because I felt if they got close enough, they're just going to reject me. And so I kept people at a distance. I kept people at a bay. But what happens when I keep people apart from me? They feel rejected. And then I feel even more rejected. And all of a sudden, the wound is continuing to cause damage in my life and in the lives around me. Listen, I believe God is calling each and every one of you to identify the contracts that you have made and break them today. You see, these contracts we actually create don't do a good job of protecting us at all. We believe that it protects us, but actually it perpetuates the pain we've received over and over again. Now listen, I'm going to get to this concept that I like to call fight club and flight club. There are two ways that we respond to pain. Number one is we fight back. Number two is we flight. We run away. And so, Brian, can I borrow you? Okay, give it up for Brian. He's this beautiful, tall man. Let's say when we were younger, Brian was a very important person in my life. And for whatever reason, he lifted his fist against me and he hit me. Ow. Okay. Thank you, Brian. Give it up for Brian. And so I have this wound that Brian inflicted upon me. Okay. Now, I want to welcome up David and Justin. Come on. Give it up for David and Justin. And so now, many years later, I have this wound that I haven't dealt with. It's a really fat bruise by now. I should have used the stabbing analogy. Anyway, I have a really fat bruise right now. And David, in our relationship, he's trying to pat me on my back. We gave this illustration before. He's trying to pat me on my back, but he, before he does it, I perceive it as a threat. And so because I've been hurt by Brian in the past, the first way that I respond to pain is that I fight back. So before David lays a finger on me, bah! Thank you, David. And the second way that we respond to pain, let's say Justin, the same thing, well-intentioned, he coming up to me, trying to give me a pat, but because of my unresolved wound, before he touches me, I run away. Flight. Okay, thank you, Justin. You guys get the examples, right? So we respond to pain two ways. Number one, we fight. Number two, we flight. And if we go to the slide, I'll give you a great example. We got the Hulk, right? The Hulk. Great example of someone when you respond to pain by fighting. You know, don't get me angry. And then all of a sudden, how many of y'all know that a lot of us who have responded to pain in fight mode, we respond like the Hulk. As soon as there's a perceived threat, we Hulk up. Some of y'all grow muscles and turn green. and you fight against your perceived threat. And the second thing, flight, David actually posted this video, and I just wanted to show it because I think it's so amazing. That's you. Let's just say that his wound was a snake killed his cousin.
Very good, but they can detect movement. So if the hatchling keeps its nerve, it may just avoid detection.
So tense. That's flight mode, y'all. That's flight mode. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. You guys gotta watch the rest of the video later. It is epic. But listen, what am I trying to illustrate? Number one, there's two ways that all of us respond to pain. Some of us, we fight. And some of us, we flight or we run away. As soon as your wound is triggered, as soon as your pain is triggered, you have written contracts to either respond in fight or in flight. You have written contracts to either join Fight Club or Flight Club. And we all know that the first rule of Fight Club is don't talk about Fight Club. And so we don't talk about these wounds. We don't talk about these contracts because we're not supposed to. But today we're going to expose them. And so listen, I'm going to go into a little teaching mode, okay? I'm going to talk about how we respond when we experience relational movement. So can we put up that graphic? It's a little chart. And so our emotional responses in relational movement, I will teach you. I'm going to drop some knowledge on y'all, okay? Every relational movement in our lives provokes an emotional response, okay? So relational movement, we categorize two ways. Number one, someone moves against you or they attack you. Or number two, someone abandons you and moves away. And so every human being, when we feel like someone's coming against us, we have certain emotional responses. And in the same way, every human being, when someone abandons us and leaves us, we have certain emotional responses. You guys all follow along with that, right? And so every relational movement in our lives provokes an emotional response. And I'm going to just go through some of the emotions that we feel when we experience this to help you identify what kind of contracts that you've written. Cool? You guys ready to follow along? So the first one, when someone comes against you or someone's attacked you, if that's your wound and someone's attacked you or come against you, we typically respond in anger or in fear. And so if you're a part of the Fight Club, you'll respond in anger. If you're part of the Flight Club, you'll respond in fear. And so attacks include verbal assaults on our character. It could be on our worth. You're worthless. You're stupid. You'll never amount to anything. Verbal attacks on our family, so we feel shame about where we came from. Verbal attacks on your physique, okay? I don't know how many times I've been called Oppa Gangnam Style, Mr. Psy, okay? Listen, attacks on your physique. But listen, attacks also include physical assaults on our bodies, sexual abuse, physical or domestic abuse. All of these are attacks against us. And typically the two ways that we respond when people have hurt us by coming against us is number one, we fight with anger. And number two, we flee in fear. And so we're going to talk about anger first. What is anger? Anger causes you to fight fire with fire. You verbally abused me, so I'll verbally abuse you. You hit me, so I'll hit you. In order to protect myself, I gotta fight back. I gotta put up my fists and I gotta fight anything that I perceive as a threat. And the contract, if this is the way that you responded to an attack, is because I was attacked, I will never let anyone hurt me again by attacking first. So some of us, because of the attack wound that we've had in our life, in our past, whenever it's triggered, our first instinct is to attack back. Okay, I'll give you some examples. I knew someone who was physically abused as a boy, and growing up, he was very angry all the time, okay? And when he started to have a family of his own, he found himself being physically abusive to his wife and to his children. Why? Because whenever they would say something back to him or trigger his anger or his pain wound, he would respond by attacking first so that he could protect himself. I know another person, whenever my friend felt criticized, how many of y'all know who are super sensitive to that? Whenever you're criticized, you respond in anger or you lose your temper. I knew someone who, even if you mention a little, like, you know someone that jokes all the time and like caps on you all the time, but as soon as something's directed towards him, he gets super defensive. How many of y'all knew people like that growing up? Well, when you haven't dealt with this pain, you'll respond with anger so that you could protect yourself. Another example is if you were verbally belittled growing up, in order to protect yourself, you tear everyone else down. And so before anyone has a chance to belittle you again and trigger that wound, you're always on attack mode and you're belittling everyone around you. That's what anger causes. This is the first one. The fight club that we join provokes anger whenever our wound is touched. The second is fear, okay? You guys saw that little iguana running for his dear life. For some of us, when our wound is triggered, when people have attacked us in our lives and verbally assaulted us or physically assaulted us, the second instinct is to run away, okay? Fear causes us to flee. When you feel like you're being attacked, you retreat. If I run, I'll be safe. And in order to protect yourself, you run at any sign of danger. And so usually the contract that people make, if this is what they've experienced, is because I was attacked, I will never let anyone attack me again by running away from any perceived threat. I'll give you a great example. I had a friend who used to serve at his church very faithfully. And when he finally entered into discipleship program, whenever the discipler would try to rebuke or correct that person, automatically they became defensive and would attack back, okay? Oh, sorry, not attack back. They would retreat in fear. And what happened eventually is they left the church. And he went from church to church to church. Why? Because every time that wound was triggered, he felt the need to run. I knew another person that I did ministry with who, at a young age, her father would invite men from the town over to their house, and these men would pay him to sexually abuse his daughter. And she went through this all the way from age 5 to 12, okay? And so she was extremely wounded by this, and as a result, she's never able to trust men. Why? Because men are the one that caused me pain. Men are dangerous, and so when I see a man, I'm gonna run away. You understand? And so you respond by running away. I know someone else that because they were verbally assaulted as a child, they're never able to let anyone in close enough because they feel when they get close enough, they're able to wound them with their words the same way. Another example is someone who was constantly told growing up that you're worthless, that you'll never amount to anything. And as they grow up, that person has such a low view of themselves that anytime they're called to step up to the plate, they retreat in fear. So you guys understand these two things. When you've been wounded because someone came against you, the two ways that you typically respond is, number one, you angrily fight back to protect yourself, or you in fear run away so that you could protect yourself. You guys all understand that? You guys following along? All right, listen, the second thing, the second relational movement, abandonment. When someone moves away from you, when someone abandons us, we respond in jealousy or despair. Abandonment includes physical abandonment of a loved one. Maybe your dad left or your mom left, or the loss of a loved one. Maybe someone that you were very close with, the grandmother, an uncle, passed away, or negligence. Abandonment also includes rejection from someone. Maybe someone that you were close with, they rejected you, or a betrayal of trust. Someone that you were in covenant relationship with, they betrayed your trust and you felt abandoned. And so the two ways that we respond, if you're in fight mode, is jealousy. And if you're in flight mode, it's despair. Now, jealousy causes us to respond with possessive rage. Look to your neighbor and say, possessive rage. The fear of loss causes us to aggressively cling to what we fear we're going to lose, okay? So we fence people in from leaving, and actually, how many of you guys know that if you fence people in from leaving, it actually provokes them to leave more, right? Right? How many have ever been in a relationship where, you know, someone's trying to hold you in and control you and possessive or possess you? It makes you want to leave more. And so these people have a hard time celebrating others because their success, others' success, detracts from their own. And the contract that they have written, because I was abandoned, I will never let anyone leave me again by being overly possessive, okay? Let me give you some examples of this. I grew up knowing someone who was so afraid, okay, this was crazy, that their boyfriend was going to leave them. It's like straight from a scene in a movie. They were so afraid that their boyfriend was going to leave her for another girl that she faked her pregnancy. She faked her pregnancy so that the guy would stay. How many of you guys have seen that on TV? Listen, I experienced that in real life. Someone who was so afraid that their boyfriend was going to leave that they made up this lie so that they could possessively hold him in place. A mother's parents abandoned her when she was little, and so now she has her own child, and she possessively clings to her child, making sure he's safe from anything else. Why? Because it's her wound. Another example, you were bullied when you were growing up, so now you aggressively fight to win people's approval at any cost. You need to be the center of attention, or else you feel like people are rejecting you and abandoning you again. Does that make sense, right? We respond in jealousy. The second way is that we flee or we flight in despair. Now, despair causes us to completely lose hope. We numb ourselves to the pain by not expecting anything more than pain. You say to yourself, I do not deserve anything good, and I don't believe I ever will get anything good. And so you reject hope. The contract that you've written, because I was abandoned, I will never let anyone leave me again by never getting my hopes up. And so you live in a constant state of despair. An example is a child who lost his mother at a young age, unable to become emotionally invested in anyone around them, fearing that their loss would crush them. It would reignite the pain that they experienced when they lost their mother. Another one, a father abandoned the family when you were little, so you never let anyone close in fear that they'll abandon you too. If people aren't close, then their departure won't hurt me, and so I never let anyone in close. Another example, you were never accepted at school or at home for who you were, so now you just let people walk all over you. You let everyone use you. You have no self-respect, no self-worth, no self-dignity. Why? Because of your wound. And so these are examples of the way that we respond in either fight or flight mode, okay? Now, really quick, how many are you guys starting to understand the kind of contracts that you've made? You've either made a contract to join Fight Club or you've made a contract to join Flight Club. Either the wound that you've perceived in the past, either it's caused you to fight back every time it's triggered, or the wound that when it's triggered causes you to run away in fear. And so the question I want to ask you is, are you part of Fight Club or are you part of Flight Club? What contracts have you made? Have you made a contract to fight whenever your wound is triggered, or have you made a contract to flight every time your wound is triggered? And what these contracts look like is, because I've received this kind of pain, I will, okay? Because I've been rejected, I will to protect myself. Because I've been abused growing up, I will to protect myself. Because I experienced bullying when I was little, I will to protect myself. You guys understand? Contracts empower the enemy. How many of you guys know that the enemy has no authority over your life? But what happens when we sign these contracts is we sign over authority to the devils to terrorize us and keep us bound in our own personal lives and in our relationships. We live bound to the contracts that we created. And so when my wound is triggered because I signed a contract, I have no other choice but to either respond in fight or in flight. Because I've signed a contract, I have no other choice whenever my wound is triggered to respond in anger or jealousy or run away in fear or despair. You see, we see later in the story of Cain and Abel that contracts are commitments to sin. Contracts always lead to sin. And once again, spoiler alert, if you have not read Genesis chapter 4, y'all know that Cain ends up killing his brother. And we might think that's really extreme, but how many of you guys know in our hearts and our minds, we kill people every day? We kill people and we abandon people. The same pain that was inflicted upon us, we inflict upon others. This is why we need to break our contracts. When we sign a contract, what we effectively do is we take away God's place as protector in our lives, and we take on the role of protector ourselves. But how many of y'all know that you are a horrible protector of yourself? You are a horrible defender of yourself. We are horrible protectors. We take the role that God is supposed to play in our lives. Now, if we put up the slide, if you see Psalm chapter 46, verse 1, this is the promise of God. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. 2 Thessalonians says, the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Listen, you were never meant to play the role of protector in your lives. And when you sign a contract, you're saying, God, I don't trust you as protector. I'm going to be the protector of my own soul. But listen, like I said, you are a horrible protector of your own soul. But there is a protector who will not let any harm fall on you. Even if people physically abuse you or verbally assault you, your soul will forever be protected by the one who is the unfailing protector. That is God's role. You see, the contract that I had to break in my life was that because I was rejected, I said that I will never let anyone close enough to reject me again. But because of that contract, I was never able to be intimate with anyone. And so I always lived feeling rejected. And the very thing that my heart longed for, I was keeping outside of me because of these contracts that I've written. So the contract that I had to break was, no, I am accepted by God. I am not rejected. And I can let people close enough to me to accept me too. Not everyone is going to reject me the same way that I felt like my father did. So what is the contract that you've signed? What is the agreement that you've made with yourself to protect yourself from further and future pain? I have good news. Jesus has come to set us free. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. In John, Jesus says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Listen, you were never meant to live bound to these contracts. You were never meant to live bound to the lies of the enemy. You were never meant to live bound in the narrative of Satan or pain. You were meant to live free. And today, the Son is here to set us free from the contracts and the bonds that we have chained over ourselves. What are the contracts that have been keeping you bound? Listen, today Jesus is saying, I care. And Jesus is saying, I am an adequate protector. You don't have to protect yourself any longer. You don't have to put up defenses. You don't always have to fight or have to run away. You don't have to keep up your cardio to run from danger. You don't have to build up muscle so that you could protect yourself. Jesus is saying, I am an adequate protector. You don't need these contracts to keep you safe. Listen, some of us, how many of y'all signed up for a gym? In the same way, some of y'all signed up for Fight Club. Some of y'all signed up for Flight Club. Some of y'all made contracts to say, every time I'm triggered, I'm going to fight. Or every time I'm triggered, I'm going to run. But today, I believe that God is calling you to rip up those contracts. And you are leaving that Fight Club gym. You are leaving that Flight Club gym. And you're going to live free. Now, I want us to engage in a time of response. And we're going to do it in a very unique way today. In the Bible, there are constant examples of prophetic actions that people did to symbolize some things that are happening in the spiritual, okay? There were prophetic actions that people often engaged in that actually shed light on a spiritual reality. So today, this is what we're going to do. Will my ushers come forth? Every single one of you guys, you're going to get a little piece of paper, okay? And you're also going to get a sons and daughters pen that you could actually keep, okay? It's for you. And what we're going to do right now is just take a moment right now. And I want you to receive this paper and this pen. And I want you to reflect, what is the contract that I've written as a result of my pain to try to keep myself safe? For some of you, your wound was just like mine. It was rejection. And the contract that you've written is, I will never let anyone close enough to me again to cause that same feeling of rejection. For some of you, you were constantly criticized growing up, and the wound that you felt is, I am not good enough. And the contract that you've written is, I will never have high expectations for myself ever again. I don't see myself as someone who's worth having confidence for. I want you to think, what is the contract that you've written in response to the wound that you've received? And so for just this moment, I want you to just interact with Jesus. Holy Spirit is here, and he's going to shed light on these contracts that we've written in our hearts. And I want you to, whenever it comes to you, I want you to write that contract down. And if you don't know how to articulate it, it's very much like this. Because I felt rejected, or because I received this wound, because I felt this pain, the contract that I've made is, I will never, or I will always do this or that. Remember, it's always expressed in two ways. Either you fight or you flight. And so I want you to think about what your contract is. And if nothing comes to mind, you can just draw a little heart on your card to symbolize that even if you're not aware, there are things that Jesus is healing and doing inside of you that you might not perceive, but he's doing a work because Holy Spirit is here. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so just take a moment. Think about that. I want you to write your contract down. What was the pain? What was the wound? And what was the contract that you've written to protect yourself? Was it to always fight back? Or was it to always run away? I want you to think, and I want you to write that down. Just take a few more moments. Here's what we're going to do. In a moment, I'm going to ask you, some of y'all still writing, I know, but in a moment, I'm going to ask you, and we're going to do this all together, as a prophetic sign of the breaking of these contracts, as a prophetic sign of the freedom that we are asking God to enter us into, we're going to lift up these contracts that we've made. I know they're really mini contracts, but we're going to tear them up as a prophetic sign of the freedom that Jesus came to give us. We're going to tear them up as a sign saying, I will no longer be my own protector. I will no longer be responsible for shielding myself from pain. So as you finish up, right now, just invite Holy Spirit into this moment. Prophetic signs, physical actions that reflect a spiritual reality. We are going to tear these contracts up as a sign of a spiritual reality. All right, let's do this all together. Why don't we all stand to our feet? I want you to hold up your contract. If you're still writing, that's fine. But if you're done, I want you to hold up this contract and listen. I'm not saying that after today, when you're triggered, that your automatic response, I'm not saying it's automatically not going to be fight or flight anymore. I'm not going to say that everything is going to be okay after this. It takes time. It takes time to heal a wound. If you've ever gotten a cut or a bruise, it takes time for it to mend. But now, every time that we're triggered, we can remember this moment. We can remember this prophetic sign that I will no longer live bound to these contracts that I've signed. I will no longer live bound to these self-protection mechanisms. And so as a sign, I want you to hold up your contract and listen. I know they're very thin and very small, but take this as a spiritual moment. And when I count to three, I want you to tear it very slowly. And then I want you to put the pieces together and tear it again. I want you to tear it again and again until you fully believed in faith that these contracts that we've signed are written. And so hold up your contract on the count of three. Let's just tear them up. And afterwards, we'll get into another activity. So one, two, three. God, I thank you. We are tearing down these contracts. We are breaking down these lies. And we will no longer live bound to these contracts. We will no longer live as pawns of the enemy, but when we are triggered, God, we will respond in line with the Holy Spirit. And so we break these contracts that have bound us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, what we're going to do is this. Today we're also going to do a second prophetic act to kind of just solidify this in your heart. Today we're going to take the holy act of communion. And I want you to consider this. Communion wasn't just an act of remembrance. Even though Jesus told his disciples, "Do this in remembrance of me," the fact is that at that time when they broke the bread and they drank the wine, Jesus had not, his body had not yet been broken. His blood had not yet been spilled. He was speaking of a prophetic reality in that moment. In the same way, whenever we engage in communion, whenever we break the bread, eat it, and drink the wine, it's not just an act of remembrance. It's a prophetic act, meaning that yes, the body was broken on my behalf and the blood was spilled to cover my sins, but also I can look forward knowing that any kind of healing, any kind of breakthrough, any kind of victory that I need has already been secured in the breaking of his body. And any future sin, any future mistake that I make, any flaw or error that I've made in my life is already covered by the sin. And so today, or it's covered by the blood. And so today what we're gonna do as a prophetic sign of us breaking these contracts, when Jesus hung on the cross, his body was broken on our behalf. And because his body was broken, your contracts can be broken today. Listen, it's not your own effort that you're breaking these contracts and these lies. It's only because his body was broken on your behalf. His body was broken so that your contracts can be broken. And his blood was poured out because his blood cleanses us from the inside out. The Bible says he makes us white as snow. His blood was poured so that you can live whole. And you can live healed. He makes us whole.